If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is episode 313 of The Boop Show. It's Monday, November 29th, 2021. Everybody, welcome to the Boop Show. I'm Scott Johnson, and that guy right there is Brian Dunaway. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott. How are you today?
I'm still a little nasally. Can you hear it a little bit? A little bit of echo.
I can hear it a little bit. It does sound like you got a finger up your nose.
Yeah, kind of had a rough few days, but you know, I'm good now. It's not COVID. Everybody, calm down. Tested negative. It's a stupid cold.
Just are you sure it's not Omicron?
Omicron. I love the new name of the new variant. It's great.
If it's got to be something, if I got to die from something, I want to die from Omicron.
Yeah, if someone says, do you have the COVID? I sure hope it's not. And then I'm going to go, Omicron, Percy I-8. I am Lur. Anyway, no, I'm fine. It's just a dumb cold.
Sorry if anyone died from that. I didn't mean to.
Well, we don't know if anyone's died from that one yet. So for right now, it's still funny. But as soon as we get deaths from Omicron, we can start being sad about it.
Our stock in the jokes that's going to go plummet.
Yeah, and don't fast. The lesson here is don't let a 2-year-old sneeze on you, because that's how I got it. Oh, yeah, he's a
snot goobers.
Yeah, he's a little you know, whatever. He's building his immune system.
Did he sneeze when you had your mouth open?
I don't know. All I know is I was next to him. We were watching one of his shows, like some Jurassic Park cartoon thing, because he loves dinosaurs, and he just looks at me and he goes. Just a huge explosive sneeze, and I went, I'm probably getting whatever that is. I'm probably getting it. Sure enough, the next day, freaking had it. Knocked me out, man.
Yeah.
Sucked. Anyway, we're back, and we're happy to be here. Thank you all for being here. Hey, a couple of quick notes. This is going to sound a little bit weird, and we're not trying to freak anybody out, but we have some really cool ideas. And
Calm down
already. Everybody calm down. But we are going to begin December. We're going to call December... Boop gets retooled December. now that's nothing to freak out about.
November's over, and now we're in Redux December.
Yes, a lot of people take the whole month off. We're not doing that for that reason, but we are going.
It's just a couple of weeks, people. Come on, you'll be celebrating Christmas. You won't even miss us.
You won't miss us at all. But we have some really cool ideas that we're trying to flesh out and do, and we want to take the time to do it right. So I'm just letting you know now that for the next 3 episode slots, you're not going to get anything here. But don't worry, we'll be back, and all will be well. I'm just letting you know now.
There's 313 episodes to keep you busy. You didn't listen to all of them. You missed a few. Come on.
Just go back a few episodes and listen again if you're really interested. We'll find out how that's going. Hey, Brian, speaking of Christmas, you've got your eye on the Atari Arcade Flight Stick.
It's a fight stick. There's a big difference.
Sorry, fight stick. Tell me more about it, because I can tell you, if this is what I think it is, then I would say no. But let me hear more. What does it look like? What are we talking about?
So it's kind of like, it's like somebody took an arcade, just the sticks and the buttons, the little tray part. What do you call that? Where the sticks and the buttons are.
The panel.
Yeah, so just imagine they take the panel up and they put it separately, and you got a couple of little sticks there and some buttons. And this is the problem I'm having with. I'm trying to figure out if I want the trackball or no trackball. That one you have there is not it.
Okay, this is the Mad Cats one. The one you're talking about is what, an actual branded Atari thing?
Yes, yes.
Why can't I find... Oh, I see it now. Oh, now I'm tempted. Mm. Look at this. Okay.
It's pretty. It's got old asteroid icons on and stuff on it, and kind of old school looking arcade. Yeah. There it is. Some defenders, look at that.
Now, this is designed almost exclusively for fighting games, I assume. You can play whatever, I guess, but
I think anything, because there's your joysticks, there's your buttons. You got one player, two player. You got all those, what is that, six buttons for each one? And like I said, the thing I couldn't figure out, they sell a model with a trackball and one without the trackball. Mm. And I'm like, I tried really hard. I was like, okay, what did I play with the trackball back then? I got the new Centipede. There's like a new indie Centipede kind of thing. Yeah. It's really cool.
Kind of updated it a little bit, like that Pac-Man deal a few years ago.
Exactly. It plays okay with the stick, but I'm like, what if I had the trackball? And I'm like, am I really going to spend an extra, I don't know, for like $50 or something, I think it is, to get that trackball in the middle?
Well, it'd be good for, like you said, Centipede, although I think you could probably get away with a joystick for Centipede. Games like Missile Command, I guess, would benefit from it.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. What about Marble Madness?
Oh, shit.
That's one of your favorites, isn't it?
I love Marble Madness. You don't even know how many quarters I put in that Marble Madness machine in the 80s. I love that thing. I'd walk by the arcade and I'd hear that little guitar riff go, and it was basically, you could translate it to say, hey, Scott, come put some of your hard-earned quarters in me.
I want to move some marbles around, baby. Man. Also, chat room just said, Star Furry said, hey, what about those spinners? Remember those knobs? Do you ever original Pong?
Oh, yeah.
The Atari Pong?
Yeah, well, those knobs? Are paddles, I guess, right? Weren't they called
paddles? Well, there was paddles, too. They had paddles and stuff, but there was a point where it was just literally two knobs where you just, because paddles kind of one holds your hand and the little twist knob is like almost big enough so you don't really, you can use your whole hand. Where it, with the knobby knobs, you literally had like two. You're like, you're tweaking somebody's,
something there. Nipples, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that's nipples. It.
I've heard of those. Here, well, you know what, chat? Is this what Brian's talking about? Here, I'll pull it up on screen. Is it these things? These, oh my gosh, that's.
Yeah, my dad used to have it. Yeah, no, those are more like the paddle things. No, okay. my dad literally had like, okay, I had the original Pong, and it was just like a little box. It was a little black box, and it literally had the knobs built onto the console. Mm-mm. And you just turn the little knobs.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You, some of the original Pong, the original Pong machine didn't have detachable. Okay.
That's right. Because it was a big thing. Was it Coleco that did the detachable?
Yeah.
I think but it was still wired, but it rested into the console.
They may have been first. Yeah. I don't remember.
Is it Magna? Was it the Magnavox one? I can't remember.
Oh, you know what? I just found them. So you can buy replacement versions of these. Here.
Yes.
See these over Brian's face. Looks like his
eyes. Now, see, that seems like it would be a good Marble Madness. It's like, there you go. It almost reminds me like if you have an Etch-A-Sketch. Ooh, some Etch-A-Sketch right in my eyes. Perfect.
Yeah, right in your eyes. Nailed it. You could do Etch-A-Sketching with this thing, right? That's the idea. No, I know what you're talking about now. Boy, that's old school.
Right.
All right. I'd go for the ball. How much more for the ball? 50?
I think it was 50 more. I could be wrong. I need to go back and look again. But I couldn't decide because I got hung up on it. I was like, I don't need a trackball. I'm not going to play Centipede. But now we talked it out a little more, and now I'm like, maybe.
It depends on what games. You need to make an accounting of what games are actually going to benefit from it and whether you're going to play those or not.
If I'm going to play any of them.
Yeah.
If I even use this thing, because I'll probably get it and have it on my desk. I'm like, oh, now where am I going to put my keyboard at? What am I going to do with this thing? I don't know.
Greg says, get some Intellivision controllers. And to that, I would say,
yes.
What, to scratch my butt with? Because they were useless, those things. They were terrible. Oh, my gosh, they were bad. Garbage. Horrible. Hideous.
I don't know, man. I'll tell you my least favorite controller is because my hands still weep to this day.
What's that?
Those stiff-ass Atari 2600 controllers.
Oh, yeah,
those things were so freaking stiff.
Yeah, they were pretty bad. They weren't great.
Remember when I first got the Apple IIe control joystick?
Yeah.
It was made by a third party. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It had like little knobs you could adjust the tension on. Mm-hmm. Had like a nice little metal. Mm-hmm. Ooh, those were nice.
I remember those. I'm gonna see if I can find one of those here. Oh, there it is. I had it. The problem with that thing is it had there was no no snap to center. It was
no.
Just
you had to adjust it.
Yeah. It was kind of crap. Yeah. It was kind of crappy. Chat room, I'm going to show you this because you need to experience this too.
Yourselves. You need to experience it.
It's pretty great. Okay, there it is. All right, check this thing.
But yeah, that's what I've been jonesing for. I want this to be an old-timey fashion Christmas, as in, there it is. There's that ugly-looking
thing.
Look
at that bucket. Yes. You may as well just drop half your sandwich in there while you're playing. It's so stupid.
And then there was like those little controller knobs on it. That thing would just get super loosey-goosey so you could adjust it to center. It was it was fun.
That's Dreadnecks calls it.
That's an 8-bit Christmas, just like that stupid Christmas movie.
I want to see that thing.
I do too. I do too.
Just because I keep hearing it's not.
But it's going to piss
me
off.
It's not annoying retro. Like they actually take their. They do it with love. So whatever.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna watch. Is that that was Netflix?
HBO Max, I think.
HBO Max.
Yeah.
8-bit Christmas. I gotta check it out.
We'll watch that. All right, everybody. Speaking of 8-bits, not really. That's not what's happening at all. We're going to do a little bit of news coverage here. I'd like to keep you informed of the indie launches coming up. And this week, you got a few choices, like Mecha Jammer coming out on December 2nd. Yes. That's Thursday? No. What is that day?
That's Thursday, isn't it? Thursday
as Brian says. Mm-hmm. So this is a really trippy looking, I don't know how to even describe the look of it though. Like the use of pixels and like 2.5D and like exactly. Foreground, background blur and stuff. It's really something to look at.
It is.
Anyway, tactical cyberpunk turn-based game set on the off-world grindhouse jungle colony.
What a description.
It's pretty great. Well, it says skulk your way through the shadows. Or charging, guns blazing, recruit an army, a new party of large squad-based assaults on your adventures, as your adventures plunge you deep into the city's secrets. So it seems like when they say turn-based, it's not so much turn-based as it is. How do I compare this? Because you kind of unleash like a big real-time army in lots of places in this trailer.
Right.
It doesn't seem like you're taking turns so much as you are maybe. Taking turns to just to let go of all your dudes.
Yeah, like does it have like countdown, like you cool down type of
could be that. It looks cool though. I have to admit that's art style is really calling my name.
I've seen a couple of games like there's a new JRPG that has kind of like a similar style to it, but it's only side scrolling.
That looks cool too. Yeah. There's also,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Well, maybe that's the one I'm thinking of. The E3 thing. Shit. There is something coming and that's coming to Game Pass day one, whatever it is. But I think it's early next year or something.
Correct.
I have to look that up. Anyway, Mecha Jammer coming December 2nd. Check that out. After that, we got same day, actually, Arkvale. Everybody check out Arkvale. Arkvale is a game where you take up your weapon in an RPG bullet hell world and embark on a journey that is to right all the wrongs from long ago. Only you can defeat the evil forces of the Undying Guardians and reunite the world with the fabled Arkvale, which sounds like a weapon.
Yes, only you can prevent forest fires.
Arc fires. It's looks like a little bullet hell roguelike kind of deal, you know, shooter, two sticks, run around, there's co-op, it shows right here.
It seems crazy, co-op carnage.
Yeah, if you're into this, this is going to be great for people who love this kind of chaos. Right now, I don't think I'm in the mood for this kind of action, but that changes on a, you know, every you ask me a month from now and I might be like, oh man, I could sure go for some arcadey bullet hell, avoid the bullets kind of lifestyle and, you know.
The only reason why this triggered my excitement was because it's going to be $15. Humble Games is publishing this thing, and it's coming to Steam and Switch for $15. And I got some coins left over on my Switch over there that I can apply towards this. And I'm kind of excited about that, laying in the bed or hanging out at the family house, you know, get the families.
They got some pretty good sales right now over there. The Switch in general.
Yes.
There's some good stuff on the shop. If you can stand going into the shop, there's some really good deals to be had. But holy shit, it's so slow and sluggish in there. I freaking hate it.
You know what I miss? I miss it must be almost Christmas time. I'm getting nostalgic here. I miss the old Nintendo DS store where when you downloaded something, you had to wait for like the little pieces that come across the screen.
Wasn't that great?
Down.
Yeah. Here, you know what? I have a little music from
the Wii store. Yep.
This is DSi right here.
Is that DSi?
Yeah. Yeah, the DS. So that's that. If you listen to the one from Wii Sports.
Oh, yeah.
Where's the other one? Wii Shopping is this.
You're right.
Yeah, this is Wii Shopping. But either way, they were really creative and fun. All the Wii stuff, the DS, all the DS generations. The GBA had kind of a fun interface. It didn't have a store, obviously. We were before those times. but it had a cool kind of like systems interface thing that was just like fun and Mario-ish and goofy. And why don't they do that anymore? What is wrong with those people? Like, it was just a fun, goofy thing. And I know that data works different than Mario dropping coins in a bucket.
You know when
it
stopped? When Reggie left. When Reggie left, it all stopped. He took all the fun with him.
Maybe that's why he left. It's like, I'm out of here. You guys suck.
I'm out of here. You guys are no fun. I'm out of here.
Hey, Doug,
I'm Reggie.
Bowser, you're in charge. And he left. Now Doug Bowser's in charge. Anyway, hey.
Let's make it all boring.
Another cool game coming very soon, including the second, actually. So Thursday's a big day. We got a game called Solar Ash, previously called Solar Ash Kingdom.
You maybe should put some lotion on that.
No kidding. If you got Solar Ash, talk to your doctor immediately. It's an upcoming adventure platforming game developed by Heart Machine and published by Annapurna Interactive.
Yep.
I never say that right. Anyway, it is scheduled to be released soon. Like we said, the second. It's coming to Windows, of course, PlayStation 4 and 5. Solar Ash is an adventure platforming game. Like we said, player controls the main character whose name is Ray, R-E-I, Ree?
R-E-I, Ree.
Like he's riding rollerblades to me.
Yes, that's exactly what you're doing.
But it looks cool. The comparison I'm going to make here, I don't know, Journey maybe? A little bit of the old Journey? I don't know. Something like that.
I wouldn't think Journey. Maybe the Eagles? No.
Kidding. You're thinking a band. You dork. No, like, what would we compare this art style to? It's very something here. Ah, can't put my finger on it.
Now, the art style reminds me of, but not in that way. Anyway, Hyper Light Drift. Do you remember that game?
Oh, Hyper Light Drifter. Drifter? Drift.
Yeah, Drifter.
Drifter?
Drifter? Drifting.
Drifter.
Drifting?
Drifter. Hyper Light Drifter.
Hyper Light Drifter. And those guys, do you remember that game?
Yeah, I do. It was good.
Yeah, the same developer.
Oh, those guys. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, game was like a pixely hoo-ha, and this is like full 3D. So this is...
Exactly.
Very interesting. The Steam listing for it is broken, Hyper Light Drifter. Anyway, whatever.
Oh, this because there is no Steam listing. I think it's just coming to Epic and PlayStation. I don't think there is.
No, I was looking for Hyper Light
Drifter. It may be eventually coming to Steam. But
I was looking for the Drifter game, but I couldn't find it. Some reason.
Oh, Hyper Light Drifter. I got you.
Well, that's cool. I like those guys. So Solar Ash. Now, ooh, boy, suddenly you got me more interested than I was. Big giant bosses and your little tiny little skater man. It looks cool.
Yeah, skate.
Skater man. All right. A reminder, Boop is not just the single and only video game show we do here on the Frog Pants Network. There's also the core show, which happens on Thursdays. There's the instance on the weekend. Always something for somebody. So go check out frogpantsplays.com and see if there's something there for you. All right? All right. Now the games we played. Chat room says Styx, REO Speedwagon, Boston, Supertramp.
There you go.
Yeah, they know what's up. These guys know us pretty well. They know us more than we like to admit.
Yeah, they are us. We are them.
We are them. Okay, chat room and everyone at home, I'm about to tell you about a game. You're going to say, wait, Scott, I think this game may have come out already. You're going to say that to yourselves, but you're going to be correct, but also kind of wrong. What I mean by that is I'm going to talk about a game that actually came out in 2015 that just got a complete retrofitting, something like that, called Ultimate Edition. The game is called Guild of Dungeoneering.
I saw this.
Yeah.
I was very excited about this. So is it good?
It's very good.
Give me the details.
I mean, I love the first one. The original release was amazing. So this thing came out. When I first bought it, I bought it on an iPad because the version there just looked like a great sit down and play game. And it is. Still plays there. Basically, it's this hand-drawn style. Everything in the game looks like it's been scribbled on, like, graph paper at school. Mm-hmm. Pencil, you know, kind of style, that sort of thing. Including this little character creator they're showing right here. And this is only coming to Steam, or it's only on Steam right now, the Ultimate Edition. The current version of the game, if you already owned it on Steam, automatically you got it. It didn't cost you anything. So it's not something you have to go pay for again. But if you've never had it before, this might be the time to get it. The only bummer is, and I'll get to this a little bit more later, other versions of the game, like my version of it that I had on the iPad, does not have the ultimate content yet. So that may be happening. I talked to the developer directly, and it sounds like some of that stuff may be in the works, may not be. But doesn't matter. They were kind enough to reach out and say, hey, we got a code for this. Do you want it? And I said, hell yeah, I loved this game back in the day. And so I was happy to take it off of their hands. Guild of Dungeoneering is basically this. Oh, how do you describe it? It's such an interesting take on like RPG dungeon crawling mechanics, because instead of you being presented with a dungeon to fight in and kill stuff, get gold and loot and move on to the next room and kill stuff and get gold and loot, kind of your traditional D&D sort of progression. Instead of just doing that, you make the game, you build the dungeon as you play. So you're given these, again, hand-drawn pencil cards, and the cards represent different pieces. And think, you know, remember those pipe games where you have to assemble the pipes to make the water go through them? It's a little like that. The card might be just a crossroads panel, but it also includes like a shrine in it. You don't know what that shrine does yet, but if you put it down and it fits on one of your squares, you can then go into that room. You can also populate it yourself and say, I'm going to put a nasty rat in there. That's the name of one of these characters you fight, one of these NPCs. Not NPCs, what do you call them? Monsters, creatures.
Yes.
Anyway, so you might be going in there with a guy who's just sort of an average. They call the initial character, what's he called? I'm going to play it. Here, I have audio. Let me just play it. Here's, they actually sing about this dude here. Check this out. Right here.
The one that's always left behind, the solitary lump, the pawn who's fodder for the grind, the sorry little chump.
He's called a chump. Yeah, different God, classes in the
that
game.
That really pulls you into the game.
Yeah, you got it. Okay, so that's the other thing I really love about the game is almost everything is punctuated either when you begin or when you die or when you win or when you add a new building in the place or whatever you're doing to expand your game. This bard dude sings a little song about it. And it's always great and always funny. Here's a version. Here's when you start the game. I'll just play that.
This is the Guild of Dungeoneering. All across the land they're cheering. Oh, to be a dungeoneer. Chasing fame and glory.
Isn't that great? That's the whole intro song. It's just like this ridiculous.
That makes this game.
Ridiculous, I mean, over the top thing. It makes it really great. It really does add something to it. But the combat is kind of card combat-y. You have a certain number of cards, and based on loot you've picked up, you might have some additional cards that run that you didn't have last time. You might have some cards that give you health back or block magical damage, but not physical damage. Or you might have weapons that where you're casting cards that are physical or magical. Just a bunch of combinations of things. And you get that loot from killing monsters, also finding chests. And oftentimes, again, it's you populating those spaces with those chests or those monsters. So it's you who decides how you're going to benefit your dude. And you want to be smart about that because eventually you got to fight the boss in the zone. And that means you got to connect with building cards, which you will eventually find, you know, the right pieces to build a path to the boss. But you want to make sure you do enough killing and other stuff in between then so that you have more loot and better chances of fighting that boss. So if you F it up and go straight to the boss, you're just going to die. You're not going to make it. And they'll start you over. There's a whole graveyard system. So every time you die, there's a sad song about your death. I didn't record one of those. I don't think there's this one.
Do you start back as a chump again, or do you start?
No,
as a
well,
new
you could be another chump, but there's also an unlock system where you can unlock warriors and unlock, cat burglars is one of the classes. They basically are kind of rogues. There's other a whole bunch of them that you can unlock, and you can build a bunch of those. Now, sometimes when one of those dies, it takes some time for a new version of that class to come and show up at your town. So you have to play something else that's available during that time, and that may have some strengths or some weaknesses or whatever. It's always just kind of a fun twist to not quite know who you're going to have to take into battle. You can give these people names. It's not that important, but there'll be a gravestone with their name on it when they die, and you'll die. It's roguelike elements. They're not kidding about that. There are moments where you're killed, but you always get to kind of go back and spend money and do cool things in the town. And the town is literally you doing the same thing, putting down a card for the kitchen, a card for the alchemy station, a card for the whatever. And as you do that, you build out these aspects of the game that give you more stuff when you're going in for your next fight. Then there's a big overworld map where you're choosing the locations to go fight. There's usually two to three main kind of goals or I guess quests that you have to do while you're there. They get progressively harder, obviously. The villains you fight or the monsters you fight tend to get more abilities, more unique cards during battle, that sort of thing. For example, a zombie starts out with a ton more life bubbles than you do, but every turn he loses life because he's a zombie. Mm-hmm. And so you're not actually up against too hard of a character. You just think you are because he's got so much damn life, but he's dying slowly, and then you're adding to that by killing him quicker. But there's some real gnarly fights. I've been in some where they just come down to the freaking final hair, and you're just like, how did I make it through this thing? It's a very, very fun game. I really liked it. I loved it in 2015. The fact that they're doing this now just got me all sorts of jazzed. In between this, these two things that they did, the original Dungeoneering or Guild of Dungeoneering and this new release, I didn't realize this was them, but they did that card game for Apple Arcade called, damn it. What is
that's
that
a weird
called?
Name for a game.
I didn't write it down. I meant to, and I forgot. Anyway, there's a card game on Apple Arcade that's just part of that service that everyone really liked. And you were like a 90s kid running around doing 90s shit, but with card battling. I never played it. But
so is it mostly Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon cards in? I mean, or is it something
no,
just...
No, but it's that era they're invoking. You know, it's right. Like that whole thing. Carmageddon's a great name. That's really good. If it wasn't so close to Carmageddon, it'd probably be used by him. Anyway, I really, really like it. Let me play the final. This is when you won, I believe. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, this is a good winning.
Hard pocket. Song.
Here you go.
Here's to you, young Dungeoneer. You stood your ground and acted very brave. But how long before you feel the fear? And how long before you're in your grave?
Not the most positive voice in your life.
No,
but
it's not.
He's stoked or whatever.
Cardpocalypse, by the way, is what you was
saying. Cardpocalypse, I was close. All right, yeah. It's cool. Anyway, these guys are rad, and I can't recommend them enough in terms of just like, you want to, I don't know, you want... Those core mechanics of dungeon stuff they're all in this game. Gambrinos is how you say the developer's name. Gambrinos. Not sure.
Gambrinos.
You'll find this on Steam. Like I said, here's the other thing. It's normally $20. Well worth it at that, in my opinion. There's enough content there to make that price 100% worth it. But right now, they're doing a promotion. And I don't know if it's part of the fall sale or the post Thanksgiving sale they're doing right now or not, but it's down to $11.99. It's 40% off.
Oh wow.
No brainer at that price. No brainer. It also runs on Mac. Go ahead.
I love how I know there's a sale going on Steam whenever I'm like casually checking my email and it says there are 24 items on your wish list on sale.
Yeah.
It's that time, huh?
It's that time of year, is it?
Let's go spend some money.
That happens a lot. But yeah, right now $12 is all, and it's just stupid cheap. It's really cool. They've added some cool modifiers so you can say, hey, I want to have a higher guild gold cap, or I want to have more hearts going in. So if you feel like the previous experience was too hard or something, there's ways to pad that out. There's also ways to kind of change the backgrounds now and some other stuff, some other new features. It also just looks really nice on modern displays. Yeah. It's just really charming and lovely. And I'm going to just put my hat in the ring and say, yo, play this game. It's rad. In fact, I'm going to even change my score. I like it so much. Hold on a second. I'm going to bump this up. Hold on.
I'm going to bump it. I talked myself into a better score.
I did. I actually did.
While I was talking.
The more I looked at that score, the less I felt like it was up to par. Because part of this was me going, well, I have technically, from the larger perspective, I have played most of this in 2015. But it feels so fresh now. And if I had just discovered it now, I'd be even more excited about it.
Right.
It's a rad little game. Again, Guild of Dungeoneering. My pros, very satisfying game loop. It's just a fun loop to be in. It's always a thing I look for. Delightful art style and tone. Insanely addicting. The singing and songs and all that stuff is totally worth it. Even when you're dying. I love hearing those. They're great. The only con I could come up with is it's not updating for owners on the mobile or tablet platforms or any other platforms previous to this that aren't that aren't Steam. So that's a bummer. I hope they get around to it. It, you know, they didn't say one way or the other, but it's just one gets the feeling that that might be on the way.
Yeah.
And I would gladly play it again there. Anyway, available now. I'm going to give this thing a score. Are you ready for this?
Give me your score of the last episode of the Boop Show
before the end of the year. Our month of things we can't tell you about. Don't get them too much upset. I don't want emails all week. 9.2 paper rats out of 10. Not paper. I meant dirty rats. What do they call?
You said paper rats, but dirty
I'll
rats.
Say, like I'll say too. Paper rats. There's dirty rats in the game or whatever they're called, but they're
stick by nasty what you're rat. Saying.
But they all look like paper craft, and I like
you, that. Dirty rats.
I loved it. I still love it, and I'm going to keep playing it. Oh, I did want to mention it. You know, there's been a lot of confusion or not confusion. If you're a new M1 Mac owner of either the notebooks or the mini or the iMac or the brand new M1 Plus or whatever it is, here's the good news. This game runs flawlessly. As I'm finding most games on the Mac are running just fine for me, even though they are coming out of the Steam client, which is still Intel based. So it's all running on Rosetta. And the games themselves have to go through Rosetta as well because they're not M1 native.
Right.
Still running really nice. Like, this game runs perfectly fine at 4K with all the stuff going. Like, I had no problem with it. And even if your Steam warns you and says, it's 32-bit, you may not be a beer. It still works. It's totally fine.
It's 32-bit. You may not be happy.
But I'm thrilled about that because my production environment's over here on all my Mac stuff, and my PC is just really for gaming and streaming. And it runs over there, and it runs over here, and it has cloud save, and I'm going to have it up. And if I'm in a boring meeting, guess what's great? A little window running Guild of Dungeoneering.
So just heads up if you're in a boring meeting with Scott in the near future.
Yeah.
This is what he's doing.
Yeah. If you're sitting there looking at me on a Zoom call and I'm not saying much, I might know why. All right. That's Guild of Dungeoneering Ultimate Edition, available now. And now's the time to get it because it's freaking $12 and that's stupid cheap. I can't believe they're selling it at that price. It's very stupid. Good, though. All right, Brian, let's talk about a game I actually played a little bit of, so I'm excited to hear what you thought of it. Came out on Game Pass called XO1. What is that game and why should the world care?
Hey, Scott, have you ever wanted to play a game where some aliens? Okay, so it's 1 year after the Jupiter crash. Everybody remembers that, right?
Oh, the Jupiter crash, right.
Yeah, the big Jupiter crash, right, where we lost all the astronauts. And so it's like a year later, it's the anniversary, and some aliens have sent us a diagram, some instructions on how to build a ship. Mm. And this ship is an orb. Yeah, you remember Explorers?
Yeah,
it's not like that at all.
Okay.
So humanity builds this orb ship that can flatten out and has a gravity drive. You remember gravity drives, right?
Sure.
They're great.
That was a big deal when those came out, the gravity drives.
Yeah. And so the XO1 is what humanity dubs this ship. And you managed to fly this thing. This is our first exploration out of our galaxy after we built this XO1 that the aliens sent us. Totally not a trap, Scott.
Yeah.
It's totally not a trap.
No, the aliens, they have our best interests at heart, it turns out.
Absolutely. So this, you know, this is not a pixel game. This is a fully realized 3D world where you're basically marble madnessing your way through different environments, and you'd use it through the gravity drive. So I played this with the controller, which you do triggers, you hit that and it creates I think it's 10 times gravity,
10 times normal gravity. Yeah, so your ball goes flying down to the crevices pulls you. Yeah,
exactly. So most of the first places you go to are going to be hilly planets. So you're going to be exploring through planets. And each time you start on a planet, you'll kind of have to look around because this is an exploration game. Some people even compare it to like a walking simulator. I don't find it to be nothing like that. First of all, you're rolling.
Well, yeah, whatever. A rolling simulator maybe, but not a walking.
Right, maybe a rolling simulator, maybe a marble rolling simulator.
Yeah.
So when you crash down to the ground, you also build up some energy when you do that. So it's like a perpetual. So
yeah,
you can
keep building up
the energy and expending the energy.
Right. Think of it there's a good example for this. Do you remember there was a mobile game with a bird. And the bird, you'd hold down and the bird would like pull down and create a bunch of momentum. And then when you'd hit the curve to go up again.
Yes. Not Flappy Bird. Because for a second, that's like talking about Flappy
Bird. Not Flappy Bird. You guys know the one I mean. Not Flappy Bird. Shit. It was actually a good game.
Anytime we've ever mentioned any bird game, no one says Angry Birds ever. No. They always say Flappy Bird.
They always do.
It's hilarious. I love it.
That's a huge thing, by the way. So let me look. Right. While you're talking about this, right. I'm going to find the damn game I'm talking about.
So
and then you're all going to go, oh.
Okay, so there's a little mystery going on here, too. This has got some pretty good storytelling. It's a very atmospheric game. You got this great music and sound effects. The ship makes these really cool kind of Star Wars kind of sounds, like you know, where you're when you're flying, or when the ship is powering down as you lose energy. Mm-hmm. It makes all these really cool sound effects that really get you into the game. The game is just mesmerizing since it's rolling a lot and floating and gliding, because when you the opposite of when you're down on the ground, when you get pulling towards the gravity, is when you go way up, you can jump using that energy, and then you can flatten the ship out and it'll glide for a certain way. Anyway,
do you see this video? This is Tiny Wings is what I'm thinking.
Ah, Tiny Wings. Okay,
remember Tiny Wings?
About.
It's the same thing. I do. You hold down to pull the bird down into a loop and then let it rip.
Right.
And now the flat and glidey thing is different, obviously, but right. This very similar sort of
kind of
mechanic.
Control.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the control mechanic is probably pretty similar.
It's more 3D, obviously, because you're in a 3D environment.
Yeah. And so as you're going along, you can build up momentum in your ship, and you'll start having flashes of a story being told about the astronaut disaster with the from Jupiter. So we're assuming all that's going to be tied in, mm-hmm. right? That's all going to be tied in somewhere. I don't want to give any spoilers away or anything. So, but what you do every time you start on a new planet, the first planet you start on is like a tutorial planet, and it's got dunes and things, and you can roll your way, and those instructions, it'll tell you, you know, you got to use the gravity here. And then when you get up, you can hit this trigger and it'll allow you to glide. And then if you take a dive without going all the way to the ground, you can build up a little bit of energy. Or if you hit like some clouds, the ship is able to absorb power from there, and you can kind of skip over clouds, kind mm-hmm. of almost like you were on water. Mm-hmm. And you actually do get to skip water later on when you get to different planets. Mm-hmm. So anytime there's any type of environmental energy that you can steal from, like water or lightning or fire or anything, the ship makes use of that. And so there's a lot of environmental puzzling. So mm-hmm. you're trying to figure out how to get from point A, where you start, to the next jump point. And the jump point you'll see is like a blue light.
It's like a light coming off the planet, like it's point, like a laser pointer pointing in the sky somewhere.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And so you just kind of have to look around. Once you see it, you get your bearings and you just kind of head towards it. And the little ship computer has a little bit of stuff. It'll tell you when there's like an energy source nearby that you may be able to upgrade the ship just a little bit. And it'll also tell you as you're getting closer to your endpoint to be able to jump to the next planet. Mm-hmm. This is a pretty short game, Scott. It's only like 2-3 hours.
It's not long.
It's
a perfect Game Pass game in that you don't necessarily... Yes. I mean, I want the developers to do well, but it's the kind of game that you'd be glad that you already spent like a subscription on a bunch of games, and this just happened to be one. And you know, you'll get your value out of it more, I think, by that.
I think this is to me, the gameplay in this game is going to define some games that I think this could be something. You know what I mean? I feel like this game play, the game loop itself, is a lot of fun, and it's very relaxing, and really strikes the flow. You know, it's like, oh, I feel like I'm really flowing here. The music is hitting, the environment is hitting.
When you get into the rhythm of it, like hitting all the valleys just the way you want, there's something real special about it. And if you hit those, there's like these cool monolithic like structures, and you find out, oh, if I go between these, I get a boost, and then you'll just like shoot out of those things like bullets, and it just feels good. And it's very atmospheric. The sound's really trippy. I agree. It's unique in lots of ways. You know, like in some ways, I was like, well, the developers found a simulator for some simple physics for a ball, and that's what this is really just environment for this ball. But I actually think that would be underselling it. The way that they've created this piece, they're piecemealing a story to you. And doing it in a way that's more visual than anything. And I really enjoyed I didn't beat it. I played maybe an hour, But I was pretty chill. I liked it.
I beat it, and I didn't know any more about the story completion when I finished than I did the beginning. It's a very mysterious and atmospheric story, and there may be some deeper points that I missed, but it's not really important. I think you need to, if you have the Game Pass, you need to download this. You need to experience this gameplay. I would like to see them, like, I don't know if they, I don't, it, could they actually use some Steam Workshop or something and allow people to make their own planets and things? Because that'd, I could, be cool. You know, I could totally visit back here again. I don't need the story. I like the environmental puzzles, trying to figure out, you know, what environments my ship can go faster at. Speed running seems like it would be something that would be here, because there's certain when you hit certain areas, you're like, if you hit it just right, man, you just like, you go forever, and you just, I like it.
That reminds me, I watched, I didn't tell you about this before, I watched a guy, world record holder, speed run, what was it now? I watched a bunch of speed running, but what one was the record one? Oh, Castlevania Symphony of the Night on the PlayStation 1.
Yes.
Guy beat it in 38 minutes, the entirety of that game, which is insane. That game took me 20, 30 hours or something.
I enjoy watching bits of speedrunning.
Yeah.
I wouldn't watch somebody for 38 minutes.
I did that. I did watch him pretty solid, because I was just really curious about the process. But yeah, you're right. It's better for me in smaller bites, or if it's like a 4 or 5 minute one. Like, here's Mario 2, fastest record, or whatever. I can do that, you know.
Yeah, I like when they do levels and stuff. I'm like, oh, I've played that level before. Let me see what they do. Okay, that's cool how they did that. Yeah. But that's about as far as – but I do love watching it. I do not like speedrunning. I am not a speedrunner. But I do like trying to get my own personal best. You know, I like challenging myself. Like, ooh, even like a ghost mode would be kind of cool here.
Speedrunners just fascinate me. I think they're amazing human beings. I don't know how they do it. I don't know where their brains come from, or why they're attuned to doing a thing like that.
I'm assuming it's mostly just people, because we look at the internet a lot of times as one person, but it's not. It's you know, however many people are in this world, and somebody's just really damn good at one thing.
Yeah.
And it just blows their mind, because they spend all their time on it.
Yeah, I guess you did was play, you know, Mega Man 2 over and over and over and over and over and over and over, then that would be like your version of, I don't know, basketball, football, soccer, whatever it is you played tons of and practiced all the time or whatever. I see gaming as such a ephemeral medium. Like, I've played this, I beat this, I'm moving on to this. And I think some people are like, nope, I'm playing Mega Man till my dying day.
I think that's us. I'm experienced to experience. I'm like, oh, I want to experience another thing. What you got? And this is this felt like a totally unique gaming experience, but it also spoke to a lot of gaming language I already knew. So it was intuitive pretty early on, but it allowed me that feeling that if I just do a little bit more, I can become a master at this. And so I think they were like a really good balance. If you got the Game Pass, you got to get this. At $17 for a 3-hour game, this, even as amazing as this game is, that's kind of a tough sell. I'm not saying it wouldn't be worth it to you. I just don't know if I can tell you you need to go out and spend your $17.
If that was maybe the only way to get it, fine. But the fact that it's part of Game Pass makes it kind of a no-brainer to do it that way.
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer with that point. Yeah. But yeah, XO1 is the name of the game, developed by Expletive. That's how you say it. Sure.
Expletive.
Right. Expletive. Future Friend Games is who is doing the publishing. They sent me a Steam game code off keymailer.co. Nice. I appreciate that. I did not actually play this on the Xbox Game Pass. I played it on Steam. Thanks to the developers and publisher for sending me that game code. I did complete it. I didn't realize it. I streamed this from start to finish, and I stopped because I was getting frustrated at a part, and I stopped, and I just kind of left my ship to sit there for a minute while I was saying goodbyes and stuff, and the game ended. I was apparently at a stopping point. But I'd already stopped streaming, and
damn it!
Right, but that's good, because now you don't know what happens at the very end.
Yeah, I do. I get that.
But if you watch the stream, you won't know.
It's a neat thing. I think there's I like that there's room in this business for weird stuff, you know.
Yeah, play. Can you play some of that music?
Yeah, you want to hear
the
that
game? Some of the game audio. Yes, it's so good.
Here's some
so
of the good. Intro. I'll just skip ahead a little.
Got this guitar soundtrack. This is amazing.
Yeah, it's a really cool soundtrack. There's just a lot of like, I don't know. It's like the sense of speed and distance and like. Going through a cloud cover and then being down near the surface where it's raining, but up above it is not. It's peaceful. Like that kind of stuff is really, really effective.
And God, if you hit like a, you'll be going along and you'll have to kind of like, you know, you won't hit something just right and like, oh, I can't quite get it. And then suddenly you hit every note just right and you'll get to going so fast. And that's lots of times when they'll give you these little story bits. Once you get going to a certain speed, you'll break the sound barrier on certain planets and it'll start you'll start getting all these flashes and stuff of the Jupiter crash.
Here's some of the audio from the game. It's very alien, very weird. Yeah, the ship makes crazy noises. There's always a storm. And that sound of as you going like really fast and low. Oh, it's really cool. Yeah, that stuff's badass. I'm glad it exists. It's a cool little thing.
Yeah.
So you should get it. Hey, Brian, do you want to do a score? Like how you can score?
I'm going to do a score right after I tell you my pros and cons. I kind of address most of them. Pros, if you like slipping into the flow while gaming, this game has it. Looks good. Feels good. Great music and sounds. Cons, way too short. And something that annoyed me that I didn't talk about. Too many carrots on a stick for my taste in this game. There's lots of times where it's got that artificial hurry up or follow me or do this because there's like you run into something and you have to chase it. Yeah. You can't catch it.
Yeah.
You can't catch it, but they encourage you to try to catch it. And I'm like, I don't give me this carrot on a stick crap. I don't want it. I can do without it. But
you guys, do you remember Flower? Remember that game?
I do, yes.
I get a lot of Flower vibes out of this. Just
yes, absolutely. Yeah. Very big Flower vibe.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this 8.37 ball-shaped ships out of 10 dead astronauts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. 8.37. That's the most granular score we've ever given.
It's what an alien would expect from me.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy. All right. Well, I like it. I think it's pretty rad. I think I'll get back to it and finish it because it's not very long.
Yeah, like you could totally finish it in a sitting. Like I said, no reason not to play it if you got the Game Pass.
And it's on, let's see, Game Pass PC and console looks like. So
yes.
If you're a PC Game Pass only person, you'll still be able to play it. Excellent. So again, our games today, the just previously mentioned XO1, that's EXO, and then the number or the word one, O-N-E. XO1 is the name of that game.
How do you spell one again?
Let me tell you how you spell it. And Guild of Dungeoneering, a little harder to spell, but you'll find it. Ultimate Edition, both great games. Really good stuff this week, I think, in terms
great
of
great indie games this week. I really enjoyed myself.
I agree. Now this.
It's me, Mario.
Time to play Guess My Game. We'll play an old game audio and try to guess what it is. I'm going to start this week. 1984 is your hint. Brian.
Okay. 1984. So Orson Welles.
I'm sorry. 83 is the correct age.
Oh, that's
I played difference. It in 84, but 83 is the correct date. I wrote that wrong. That was me having a false memory. Anyway, here is my audio. You'll probably get it, but let's see how smart you are. Here you go. 83? Yep, 83.
On your mark, get set.
What, about playing some summer games or something?
Oh, you're creeping up to the truth.
Am I playing winter games or something?
Nope.
The time, 11.32
seconds. Am I playing track and field or something?
You're playing track and field is correct. Nicely done. That game?
The starter pistol and then the...
Yeah.
And gave it away.
Picture yourself going or if you were smart in Woodshop, we made these cool literally, we made track and field sticks, and they were built to have a little bit of swivel in the middle. You could do it with a comb or with a pencil. There were other ways to get by, but in wood shop, we made like real ones. They were awesome.
Yeah.
They basically,
I like my girls, a little swivel in the middle.
Yeah, a little swivel in the middle. But it's how you cheat, basically. They were cheater sticks. So you take this stick and you'd be able to hold it under one finger, and it would kind of seesaw back and forth. And then all you had to do was whack one end of it and keep weight on the other end. And it created this rapid seesaw that would just wreck the game. You'd win every time. And
yes. Isn't that great? And now you can buy the equivalent of enhancing your game console gamepad.
Yeah,
there's words I was looking for. Jeez. Yeah, you can do all that stuff. You can buy like little add-ons and stuff.
Yeah, already made. It's really, really cool. So anyway, I love me some track and field. A lot of fond memories of that era as a kid growing up, and would play it again now if I could. All right, Brian.
8 out of 10 would play again. So it was 1983. Mine is a little over a decade later at 1994.
Ooh, all right. It was a big decade for me. I went from kid to having a kid in that decade. Weird. Hold on.
Weird.
Is that right?
I was a kid and now
Holy
I have a kid.
Shit. Yes. Okay. So if you came to me in 90 or 84, you'd have seen a 13, 14 year old kid. Doopy doopy doo. Right. 10 years later.
And scrappy doop.
To the year 1994. Kurt Cobain's the hottest thing ever. No, he killed himself that year.
What anyway, year would that have been?
Anyway, that was the year. And I had my daughter was born that year. That's it. That's crazy. The idea that was just 10 years makes no sense to me, because now 10 years feels like 5 minutes. It's stupid.
Right, right.
All right.
It is stupid.
Anyway, here's yours. Let's play it.
Now,
did you have something to say about it before I played it?
I thought it was 94 when it came out, but I'm seeing some people say it's 95. So it came out to several different consoles and platforms, somewhere between 94 and 95.
Could have been Japan first sort of thing, or
hit
who
it.
Knows?
All right, it was just different platforms. It was on the SNES. It was on the, it was even on DOS.
Oh.
It was on a Game Boy.
Yeah.
Mac.
Yeah. Those were all platforms at the time, sure.
Yes.
All right, well, here we go.
It's going to get easier.
Pac-Man thing.
Yeah. Published by Namco. Duh.
Is this the pinball one?
No.
Okay, hang on. This is well after Pac-Land, Baby Pac-Man,
right.
All that. I don't know.
How about a puzzle platform? How about it's a reskin and rebranding of Callisto's older game, Fury of the Furries?
Fury of the Furies?
Furry of the Furies.
I have no idea. That's completely...
Pack in Time.
Oh, Pack in Time?
Pack in Time.
I hate that name. That sucks. Why do I not have any remembrance of this?
It was 94, so of course it was just, you know, you had to do Pack in Time.
Let's see. Okay, SNES. There was a version on
that's
the SNES.
That's right, wait.
Okay. SNES. Let me take a look at this. I need to get some visual here. Because I don't remember this at all. Oh, yeah, I don't remember this. This was a thing? Look at this delightful
little joint.
Look at him, a little 2.5D Pac-Man platformer business eating all the dots.
Yep. I found this on my little RetroPie. So I said, "Listen, what is this?" And I'm like, "Oh my god, how did I miss this?"
Huh? RetroPie.
RetroPie.
Maybe have the word retro in your mind for the next 3 weeks, everybody. So was it? Is it fun though? Like, did this do well? How was this received?
Did it do well? No, I don't think so. Not many people talked about it, to be honest with you. It was just one of those kind of.
I feel like I would have known about it. Why are you invisible?
Reception? Pack in Time was met with generally favorable receptions from publications. And is so, in other words, not the people, and is seen as a unique and innovative title in the Pac-Man series. GamePro magazine commented that it helps represent the character's legacy, that it was an interesting take on the franchise.
I really would like to, I'm honestly, seriously, would like to play this.
I thought it was kind of neat.
I think it looks really cool.
I didn't play it all the way through, so I don't know if it gets frustrating, the gameplay. But
I can tell you right now, whatever this dude's doing trying to get this rope to work, this looks frustrating as shit.
This looks frustrating as shit, and I'm down with it. I am ready to play Pac-Man where I'm like cussing.
Look at these ghosts. They're all kind of, they've gone that Donkey Kong Country kind of vibe.
Yes, they did.
Where everything's sort of 3D rendered, or pre-rendered 3D is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Okay, well, sign me up. I'm into your bad idea. I'm going to play it. Perfect one. Well, I get a big... Because I didn't get it right. That's how it went for me. Didn't go well. All right. Let's get to some an email. I like emails. You like emails. Let's play this thing for emails. Here's an email. This is from Steve Smetzer. It says in an email he's a business analyst. I like that. That seems highfalutin and fancy, doesn't it?
It does.
He says, hey, Scott and Brian. By the way, boopshow@gmail.com is where he sent this. He says, hi, Scott and Brian. I just listened to Boop 311. Amber is the color of your energy.
You can't do it, can you?
No, I
you
can't.
You cannot say 311
I can't help
and
it.
Then follow it up with that.
I just can't help it. Anyway, it says in the episode, you and Brian talked about elevator action. That was your Guess My Game for the day.
It was.
Says that game is now available for download on the II Arcade. I don't know if that's right. Earcade?
I call it the II Arcade. That's what I call it. Yeah, that's what I say. When I look at it.
I need to know more about that device. Anyway, these are those home arcade machines. Anyway, says he has one but has not purchased the game yet. Take care. Well, Steve, now you got me all curious about the II Arcade.
Right.
I want to know more.
Arcade.
It's almost like my interest in retro has increased.
Increased exponentially.
$5.99. What'd you say?
Right. So it's $5.99 for these stands and stuff. It looks like, you know, the what they sell them everywhere. What do they call these stupid arcade things they have everywhere?
Oh, I have one in the other
like
room.
Like Walmart and Costco and GameStop. Anyway, it's kind of like that.
Okay. But you can buy new games and download them, it looks like.
That's what I'm reading. So I'm interested in that because usually we get those, the one-ups. There you go. Star Fury has it. Yeah. Fury.
Okay, so they got a deal right now for $2.99. Is this full size? They look taller than those other ones. That seems cool.
I thought it looks full size too, but then they also have a stand for sale down at the bottom. Making me think maybe it's a little short.
Oh, you know what? All right. I don't want any short ones. I'm done with the short stuff. I need a tall arcade.
But that's good because, you know, the one-up arcades are very locked in what you have. And I know a lot of people take and they gut it and put a retro pie in there. Maybe this is a little something different. We'll see.
There's that word again. Retro.
Retro. Retro.
All right, Steve. Thanks for the email. We appreciate your comments, thoughts, feelings, and ideas like we do all of you. Any of you are encouraged to use that email address and tell us what you think. What's going on? All right. Quick reminder. We're taking the Christmas month off. All right. You're not going to see us each week for a bit here. Just for a bit. Don't worry.
It's a couple of weeks, people. It's not long at all.
Nothing's bad. Everything's good, actually. It's really cool what we're thinking. And we'll let you know on the other side what it is. But just know it's coming, and it's all very exciting. And let's just say it speaks to our passions, okay? How about that?
Passion.
It's not just porn, either, because that speaks to Brian's passion. But that's not the one passion I'm talking about. His hardcore, his addiction.
That's more of an addiction than really.
Yeah, passion, his hardcore whatever, addiction to elderly porn. We will not be going into that. That will not be a part of this.
Well, at this point in my life, it's just regular porn.
Yeah, who said elderly? It's just normal now. Yes, so come on back for Brian's Lemon Party. That's in a week from now. A month from now, roughly. That's the month of December. Don't worry, though. We'll have lots of teases throughout then about what's going on. Okay. So just we're pulling a Johnson. We're, you know, holding back, but that's part of the fun. Enjoy it with us. Frogpants.com/BOOP in the meantime. And, you know, look, 350 13 episodes for you to dig through and listen to, including 311, which is the color of your energy. So get in there, get it done, and check it out. Boopshow@gmail.com is that email address. Follow us on Twitch. That ain't changing. Frog Pants and Brian Dunaway. And Brian's always on there playing his games. In fact, you're going to be playing more. Do you want to tell people about how much more you're going to be doing, or are you not ready for that? What do you want to do?
Absolutely. No, I'm going to play. I'm going to be playing. So during the December, while we're doing all this stuff, I'm also going to have a lot more free time just because holidays and stuff. So Monday through Fridays, you can tune in and see me on twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway. I'll be streaming from 6 p.m. Eastern to 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Every night, Monday through Friday, come hang out.
Yeah, be a part.
Come do it. We're going to be playing.
Yeah.
We're going to be playing indies and retro and VR and just anything I can get my hands on. AAA titles, whatever.
Whatever is in the
Maybe
mood
we'll
for.
Put a Lego together.
He's what they call a variety streamer. And you know what they say about variety streamers? They say they don't make a lot of money on Twitch, but let me tell you something. I admire them because A, that's true, but B, they're doing what their heart tells them to do. You know, the guys that make millions of dollars a month playing Fortnite, yeah, that's good money, yeah, blah, blah, whatever.
I would hate
you know how sick of Fortnite they are? They won't tell you. They want to die before they play Fortnite again.
They probably do. They probably want to die. You know what I hate? I would hate the idea of having enough money that I'd have to worry about my money. I don't worry about my money right now.
Yeah. Don't worry about your money, yo. It sounds like a rap song.
Worry about money. I don't have it.
I don't have. Look, I just, you pay the bills and that's enough for me. Everything else is passion. So we got big passionate stuff to talk to you guys about soon. So stick around, okay? Don't go anywhere. We'll be back. Won't be as long as you think. Before you know it, we'll be back. Okay?
You'll have your own toys to play with.
Damn straight.
This time. Come on.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back with more information about this thing that we barely gave you any on. We'll see you next time. All right.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
I don't like Steam. I love Steam.
Activate Pac-Man.
Sometimes I almost do Elmo.
Command the Enterprise. Play Star Trek.